Well, God bless everybody. Thank you so much for all your prayers for me and especially for my family. And just it's been quite a journey, and we have a little ways to go yet, but I really have felt surrounded by your love and care and miss you very much. And I look forward to the time where I can come back and see everybody face to face again. But it's a real great privilege to be able to share today, because I've been thinking so much about the resurrection, and we've had some great teachings about it. But last week, Barney read the record of the two men on the road to Emmaus, and it had reminded me back in 2009, we did a camp out in Ramona where we looked at all the resurrection appearances in order, and we did skits, and we had music, and it was so such a fun time. But we looked at all the different records of when Jesus appeared to specific people and what they showed, because he probably appeared to more than that, but he had those, those are the records that are written in the Word to help us to understand what the apostles and the disciples went through to get to the place where they could believe that he was really alive. The first people to believe were the women and Mary Magdalene. But when they told the disciples, even Peter didn't seem to believe right away. And that's in Luke 24, if you want to look there, verse 10. Now there was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the rest who were with them, who had told the apostles. But these words seemed crazy in their eyes, and they did not believe them. I'm reading from the Aramaic translation today. So then that same night, when after Jesus had appeared to the women and Mary Magdalene, and also Peter and the two men on the road to Emmaus, then he appears to the 11 except for Thomas. And that's where they were still gathered behind closed doors. And so John also starts explaining a lot more about what happened after that. Here we go. Let's read John 20 and verse 19. Now, when it was evening of that first day in the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were because of fear of the Judeans. Now, that's important to note, is that they were still really afraid. They were afraid that the Romans and were going to come, and also the Judeans, the Pharisees who had really killed Jesus, were going to come after them, too. So, this was continuing the feast of the first fruits, and yet they were trying not, they were trying to be pretty invisible. So, but then Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be to you." He said this and showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples replied that they had seen our Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, so I also send you." And when he had said these things, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of anyone, they will be forgiven him. And if you retain the sins of anyone, they will be retained." So immediately after the resurrection, and when he appears to them, he begins to teach them the word and start to tell them that they are going to have power. And he's going to send them to do the work that he wants them to do. And so gradually, they start to grasp this idea that, wow, what's this Holy Spirit? What's going to happen? What are we going to have actually have with the resurrection? So I'm entitled this teaching, Because of the Resurrection. And now verse 24 says, Now Thomas, one of the 12 who was called the twin, was not there with them when Jesus came. And the disciples told him, We have seen our Lord. They didn't say that they believed yet, but they said, We saw him. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the location of the nails and place my fingers in them and stretch out my hand on his side, I will not believe. So that's kind of how they left it on the first day of the resurrection, after the resurrection. So now verse 26 goes on, after 8 days, which would have been the completion of the Feast of the First Fruits, the disciples again were inside. So they still hadn't like quite got the idea that, this is going to change things here, that we actually saw Jesus. Thomas was with them. And while the doors were closed, Jesus came and stood in the middle and said to them, Peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here and see my hands, and reach your hand and stretch it out on my side, and do not be an unbeliever, but a believer. Don't be faithless, but believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God, where he just kind of fell on his knees in praise and awe, like, Wow, you really are here. And Jesus said to him, verse 29, Now that you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and believe. And I think this is a really key thing that I wanted to emphasize today. We have not seen Jesus, and like he didn't come and appear to us and say, touch my side. So blessed are those who have not seen me but still believe. So a lot of the next appearances were in Galilee, and then when Jesus appears to Peter and then also to 500 other guys at one time on a mountain. And again, he starts to tell them about what is going to happen after the ascension, and that he is going to ascend and that the Holy Spirit will come and it will be power. But it takes a long time for the disciples and the apostles to get over this fear. So we can relate to this, I think, on a deep level, that it's really not until the day of Pentecost that they understand that the gift of the Spirit is truly amazing, and that is what gets rid of all the rest of fear in our lives. I wanted to just take a brief look at a few verses about what we have in the resurrection. The first passage I want to look at is Romans 4, starting in verse 24. We have peace, which is really a big contrast to fear. Because of the resurrection. But we also are justified, and we have access to God because of the resurrection. So this passage really kind of summarizes that idea. So starting in verse 23, and not on his behalf only was this written, it's talking about Abraham. His faith was counted for uprightness or righteousness, but also on our behalf, because he is also prepared to count uprightness to those who believe in him who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, right? We believe that and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And when we did, we got counted righteousness to us, or justification, who was delivered up for our sins and he rose in order to justify us. This is where I think the Aramaic is really clear in this verse, is that when Jesus rose from the dead, the price for our sins was completely paid. And that is why God could completely count justification to us, like where we would be freed from blame forever. That is so amazing. You could just meditate on that for a really long time. Just kind of try to get it in our minds. But he rose in order to justify us. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 5, because we are justified by faith, we had faith that God raised Jesus from the dead, so we got justified. Therefore, we have peace toward God by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I was in the hospital, and I'm sure any of you have been, like even at the ER or anything, they give you those heated blankets that are so comforting. They're like putting on this beautiful warm thing, and it really saturates your bones. It just kind of envelops you with this heated comfort. And when I got one of those, then God just showed me, like, that's how peace can saturate your heart, where no matter what is going on around you, you've got this heated blanket on the inside that God gives to us. So we have justification and peace, and then it even goes on in verse 2, by whom we were brought by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We have something to boast about because we have free access to God. Claudia prayed today about how it's so special that we can talk to God, but not only that, but that he talks to us, and we have this relationship with him and with his son, which is so, so, so full of grace. But we can stand in that, and we can stand in the fact that we have justification, peace, and access. So those are a couple things that we have because of the resurrection. And then, of course, we played the song by Chris Tomlin about power. We have resurrection power and freedom on the inside. Being able to walk in freedom, that's really, really amazing. And kind of Acts 1:8 summarizes that when the last appearance, right before the ascension, Jesus is telling them, verse 8, but when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and also among the Samaritans, even to the ends of the earth. Well, we're pretty much at the ends of the earth here. We get to have this resurrection power and speak about it. And what's really interesting, even on the day of the ascension, that Judas was there all the way up until that time, but he was probably part of, you know, one of the ones who was saying, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you finally going to be a king now? And Jesus says, I you know, not for you to know the times and the seasons. And so between the time that happens and maybe when he actually goes up, and the angel said, oh, you Galileans, Judas leaves because he's the only one who was from Judea. But he had every chance to believe. See, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. We are so blessed because we can know these things like deep within our hearts and really have great assurance, not only of the wonderful privileges that we have as the Son of God, but also that He has given us power in the Holy Spirit, and that is our deep connection to Him. Another thing that we have is hope, and we have an inheritance. And I'd like you to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For even Christ died one time for our sins, the just one for sinners, that He would bring you to God. And He died bodily, but lives spiritually. He died in His flesh, but He lives in His spirit. So He's got a spiritual body that is amazing. But what He did, what He accomplished in the resurrection was He brought us to God, like the access thing. But He brought us to Him so that we could have the same hope, so we would know that we are going to have a similar body as Him and that we can have a really terrific hope. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about how if we didn't have this hope, we would be of all men most miserable. But turn back to chapter 1 and look at verse 3. I think this is on the screen up there. Is blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by His great mercy has fathered us anew to the hope of life by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, because of the resurrection, He made us His sons, and He gave us a living hope, a hope of life eternal, but also a hope of life right now, where we can come to Him with everything that's on our hearts and lay it all down before Him and just have this really terrific assurance, which is kind of what hope is, that He will answer our prayers. And then verse 4 goes on and says, and to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfailing inheritance. Let me read that again. Incorruptible, undefiled, and unfailing inheritance that is prepared for you in heaven. That's kind of why I wanted to play the song In Christ Alone, because my hope is found in Him, and it will never fail. He has promised us, and it will happen, that we will have the inheritance that He has. We could be joint heirs with Him. Verse 5 says, being kept by the power of God and by faith for the life that is prepared to be revealed in the last time. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that life to be revealed. And one of the things that's going to be revealed is that we get to have this really cool body, the same kind of body that Jesus had, where he just showed up and walked through walls and didn't have to take a train from Judea to Galilee or walk or anything. It was really cool, some of the things that are described. Plus, he could still eat too, but he just had flesh and bones, and then the life force was a spiritual life force. So it's going to be so wonderful to see that. So I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. So we get this new spiritual body. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first of those asleep. And as by way of a man came death, so also by way of a man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all men die, so also in Christ all live. Those who are in Christ are all going to live, each in his order. Christ was the first, and after that, those who are of Christ at his coming. And then will be the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when every ruler and every authority and all powers cease. For he's going to reign. Get this. He is going to reign. So is he reigning now? He is. He's reigning until he places all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy, death, will be abolished. For he has subjected all under his feet. Everything is under him now already, spiritually. And that's what we also, like Bob said, we need to like get that in our minds. Somehow, just, I don't know. It takes a lot of meditation sometimes to like get these truths really deep in our heart. But when he says that everything has been made subject to him, it is evident that it is apart from him who subjected all to him. When everything is subjected to him, then the Son will be made subject to the one who subjected all to him, so that God will be all in all. That's going to be the most wonderful day when the new heaven and earth will be able to just have everything be perfect and death will be destroyed. There's a couple other verses about having a new body. It must have been so amazing for the apostles to see Jesus in his new body. I mean, that, I can't even picture how cool that would have been. But like I said, it took them a long time to believe. And what's even more exciting is that we can believe even though we haven't seen. And like Philippians 3:21 says, he will change our vile body so that it's fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. So when we get our new body, we're going to be like, woohoo! Glory, hallelujah! I can't believe it. It's so cool. It's just going to be amazing. Romans 8. I want to close with this verse here. Verse 11. And the spirit of that one who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. That's what he had promised that he was going to send on the day of Pentecost, right? Or, well, they didn't know it was the day of Pentecost, but at the day of the Ascension, he told them, wait for the promise of the Father. And all through the times when he appeared to them, he said, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send the Spirit. This is how you get it. Breathe. And they finally got it on the day of Pentecost and realized what they had. So the Spirit of the one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. That one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also make alive your dead bodies because of his Spirit that lives in you. We have a promise of justification, peace, access, hope, a tremendous inheritance, and power because of the Spirit. And not only that, we know that we are going to see him face to face again and be like him, even as he is. We're going to be able to have the same kind of body that he had when he appeared to the disciples. Amazing. Just amazing. That's really just sort of the tip of the iceberg of what we have because of the resurrection. So I love that song, Because He Lives, that the Gaither Band sings. The chorus just goes, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. God bless you guys. Sure love you. I'm going to have a word of prayer here. Father, thank you how you truly have delivered us from all our fears and the things that are in our lives and given us this tremendous peace and hope. And we are just want to give you praise like Thomas did when he finally realized that Jesus was really alive, that you are our beautiful, wonderful God and Father. And thank you for all that you did in raising Jesus from the dead so that we could have these things and be able to rejoice with you. We look forward to the day when you sent your Son to return and put all these things together and all things would be subject to him and death would be finally destroyed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.